Time for Nanase's Triple Threat Holiday Special! Welcome to the Moprophil Monthly, everyone. As always, there'll be spoilers here. I'm your host, Maplestrip, and today I am joined by not one, but two people, Trekkie140.
Hello.
And Viatrix.
Hi. Hello.
And my cat just walked in. So I guess
so
four people.
Four hosts. It's a four host show. Woo.
For this lovely Christmas special, we're going to be talking about Nanase, because last year I did Ellen, and it seemed appropriate to me, with all the sketchbook arts and stuff.
Indeed. There's also, like, one NP comic with Ellen and Nanase Christmas break, right? Like, it was during Escape from the Mall, or Marker, I think. Let me try to find it.
Ooh, that's going to be a hard one to find, I'm sure.
We know the approximate time of year it will be, so maybe it's findable. Except the EGSMP seems to be taking a very long time to load the Escape from the Mall. I guess we'll find that later.
Okay, well, we're here to discuss, as Nanase, a character so awesome, one guest host just wasn't enough.
Exactly. But before we get into that, do you two have any plans for the holidays?
Hi there. Hello. Hi. Can anyone hear me? I think I got disconnected from the internet.
Yes, I can hear you now again.
Okay, I am back.
Beatrix, do you have any plans for the holidays this year?
I don't know if I celebrate Christmas. It's more of Christmas is around and I can't avoid it. So, like, okay, I guess it's Christmas now. Yep. Christmas, it exists. If it didn't, like, if nobody around me celebrated Christmas, it would be easy to forget it exists and just do nothing. But they don't, so, yeah, Christmas is here, I guess. Like, I'm okay with that, I suppose. Yep. Like, if I happen to have any gifts I want to give my friends, it's a good excuse to give them gifts.
Ah.
Well, my family would not accept me not participating in Christmas, and I have accepted that lot in life. Well, we get to spend Christmas and Christmas Eve with my immediate family, who are quite pleasant, and it'll be my first Christmas with my niece.
That makes sense. There are a multitude of reasons why it could be your first Christmas with your niece, but the fact that your niece did not exist before now is a good reason. Yes.
I do not accept this reason.
Oh, no.
I have no clue what I'm going to be doing this Christmas. Right now, I'm just enjoying all the Christmas music.
Yeah, music is okay. It's music. Music is musical.
It's hard to figure out
what you mean. What do I mean?
I got tired of the music fast, but I have successfully tricked/indoctrinated my mom into lo-fi remixes of Christmas music.
Oh wow. Lo-fi. Wait.
That's great.
Wait, what exactly is lo-fi? Because I may have a perfect source for lo-fi Christmas music, or not, depending on what lo-fi is.
I would love to explain lo-fi, but I'm worried we won't get to Nanase if I do that.
Okay. I'll just share a link and then you can tell me if it's lo-fi later or not.
Yeah, lo-fi is a weird genre that's kind of hard to define sometimes. But, I just really like the... What in the world did you link?
It's the Seaberg 1000 background music internet radio system. Formerly not internet.
Oh. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, if you want background music, occasionally intercut with Eric Singer, the drummer of Kiss, saying you're listening to Seaberg 1000, then that's the place to go.
All this lo-fi, hip-hop, and chill-hop radio Christmas album that Tracky just linked also sounds very nice. So I got some stuff to check out.
And there's a lot of nice lo-fi YouTube channels and some nice lo-fi Spotify playlists.
Okay, I have listened to it for 5 seconds. It sounds slightly different from the Seberg 1000 background music system.
I love listening to lo-fi game remixes, so I'm quite familiar with this kind of genre. Oh, this is gonna be a fun one. So, right now it's still have how did you come across Elke de Schei for this notes thing, but I think you both of you have already told me that in the previous episodes.
We can tell you again.
I love retelling my origin story of how I found Book 3, but then I'll just recap why I like Ellen so much.
I mean, that was the last Christmas episode. We're doing Nanase this year.
Well, they're very connected to each other. But before we go to talk about Nanase, we go to talk about all the recent arcs in which Nanase has barely appeared at all.
Okay.
At all, really.
She has faded into the background a bit, but the story arcs that did focus on her were so good. Some of my favorites in the whole comic.
All of them.
Do you have any idea how high that bar is?
And she's done a lot.
We collected a compendium of Nanase comics for this episode, and I can confirm there's a lot.
Recently, first of all, I would love to hear both of your thoughts on the idea that Uriums are not from outer space.
It's a surprising twisty twist. What a twist. Where are they actually from, then? Many possibilities. Not France, though.
Hey, oh, don't sell France so short.
There was that NP comic in the Wrong Answers Only saying they're not from France.
It's a red herring. Those French are hiding something, and I know it.
Well, see, technically France did not exist yet 10,000 years ago.
That's what they want you to think.
Ah, yes. A secret conspiracy that France existed 10,000 years ago.
Oh my god. Do you two have any theories on where the Uriums are from? Or are you just going to wait and see as Dan
explains more?
I'd love
to wait and see, but even having read a lot of pulp sci-fi in the past couple years, I realize it could be a whole bunch of different things.
Yeah, I'm pretty similar. There's a lot of things it could be, but I'm just going to wait to find out what it is.
Something else we're going to have to wait for is Elliot's villain form.
Oh yeah, is Elliot going to use a villain form? Or perhaps not because he doesn't want to, or maybe he will, or what a...
I think we're going to be pretty sure that Elliot will use some sort of villain form in the future.
Maybe we'll finally see the return.
Yeah, good point. It was mentioned. If we're assuming Dan is following conservation of storytelling information or something here, then there's the fact that it was mentioned suggests it will be used.
Maybe we'll finally see the return of Heidi.
Do need to see Elliot's other forms more often. We haven't seen one in a long while.
Yeah, when was the last time? Oh no, are we going to have to read chronologically backwards through all the comics to find out?
We already just did that for Nanase.
No, we did that chronologically. Here we're reading backwards to save time, even though there's a lot. But we did read through.
Yeah, we haven't seen Elliot's secret identity in any forms in a while, but we have previously established that Elliot can change his personality with magic.
Indeed.
So it'll be fun to explore some further consequences of that.
I know someone's already writing like a fanfic of Elliot going villain, so...
Oh wow, already? That seems very quick.
That seems very dangerous for people in Moperville.
Well, if it goes wrong, but if Elliot has to take on some sort of villain form just to be able to beat some terrible evil.
Like Magus, an actual villainous counterpart to Elliot.
Ah yes, Elliot just transforms into Magus, which we never figured out how to pronounce that. We never figured out Magus. How to pronounce Magus. We're just all going to pronounce Magus differently this entire time, just to annoy you, the audience.
Hey, well, I think it's obvious to pronounce Magia. I don't understand why everyone's so confused.
Well, obviously it is pronounced Amogus.
Oh, that hurt. That hurts so much.
Okay.
Enough about emoji, the wizard.
Let's talk about Arthur, the most recent stuff in the main story. Can Ted trust Arthur? And I think the answer is no, but quite explicitly.
But Arthur seems to believe that, or Arthur seems to agree with that assessment. Yeah. So
I really like this arc that we're seeing right now, because like one of the most recent pages, we just see how Arthur beautifully manipulates Ted in order to get Ted to become happy and give Arthur the notes that he wants to have. And Ted is literally shining, which is always fun to see. But it's also obvious that Arthur's going to use this technology to make weapons and not telling Ted about it, and it's textbook.
Yeah.
I kind of hope that Ted will literally find out this arc and become angry at Arthur, that Arthur is making weapons, or that's his primary goal right now.
I look forward to seeing where it goes and how it escalates.
Also, wait, Ted, I didn't catch that Ted was literally glowing. I thought that was just figurative glowing again.
Someone like, has pointed out, because I never noticed either.
Yeah, it's like Ted has glow lines, but they're literal glow lines. Like, Ted's glowed before, like, but it's kind of hard to tell in a comic whether somebody's actually glowing or...
Well, usually someone has to point it out, which has happened for Ted in the past.
Yeah, good point, but yeah, here there's just nobody there to point it out. Except us, the readers, I suppose.
Yeah. Either way, this is I think this is a very interesting arc. It can keep going for years, this whole dynamic between Ted and the US government.
Indeed,
it's probably gonna be a major element of the story once the characters get to college.
Because you know the government's interests do not overlap completely with Ted's interest, and that's just going to create friction forever.
Yeah,
but we could also talk about NP.
NP, yeah, in
gestural statement is so fun. I love this arc a lot.
Yeah, it is fun. It's fun. It's how much do I have to say about
it's Grace being adorable in a way that is both distinctly Grace and totally different from anything she's done before.
In a way, but it's mostly just very Grace, and I love it.
Yeah.
Indeed.
I love how everyone else also thinks she's cute.
Yeah, even it's even been a running gag, both the main comic and in NP, for Grace to do video game stuff.
True, and this is like, I think people have pointed out that this is similar to Mass Effect. Wait, didn't Diane point that out?
Yeah, she's talking like the Elcor in Mass Effect, who all speak in monotone. speak in English, they just say the intention of what they're saying before each sentence. But that in itself is a reference to a previous game by the same company, Knights of the Old Republic. Where the fan favorite side character HK-47 has that unique way of speaking, because he's a droid, and he just and it's just a weird quirk in how he talks. He's supposed to be a protocol droid, so he just announces what protocols he's following.
Interesting. Yeah, it's just a, it's, I I have not played either of those games.
Oh, he's a fan favorite for other reasons, because he's kind of a mean droid.
It's different from Grace. Grace has not been very mean this arc.
Nor has she been a droid.
Indeed. Grace is neither mean nor a droid here.
No, but the Elcor, even in Mass Effect, the Elcor can be pretty funny. Like, barely contained rage. Now listen here. or vain attempt to project confidence. I can take you. and you really want to have a fight? Mortal terror. No, please don't hurt me.
I can see how comedy can arise from such a situation now.
I kind of wonder if Grace will keep doing this, even in the main story arc, because it's working so smoothly for her in this one of these recent pages.
Yeah, and Dan did actually find some satire jokes to tell, aside from just the absurdity of the situation, where of all the different ways people are reacting to her that reflect the way they see, the way a different people see her.
Satire of compasses on the moon. Speech class in general, I guess.
I find it hilarious that all the not very bright guys are like, wait, a girl's just telling us what she thinks?
Yeah. Oh god, yeah, that. I thought it was so funny.
This is both very real and a painful reminder of my past.
Oh god. A girl who's just completely open and honest? Impossible. So cute.
Speaking of character arcs about honesty, Nanase!
Yay, we finally got back to the topic of the episode.
I love how the most recent page, those rumors are just like, oh, I'm pretty sure she's dating Ellen, and Justin is probably thinking, yeah, that sounds like Nanase.
Yeah, we'll see where Mr. Radioactive Rumor Mill does with this information.
Yes.
Now, Justin is not the radioactive rumor mill. Justin was bitten by
obviously, the radioactive rumor mill died immediately after biting
Big
him,
difference.
Or otherwise there would be a bunch of other people with rumor mill powers. Duh.
That's how it works with spiders. Before we go into Nanase, one more thing. The 20th anniversary is coming up.
Ooh.
Like,
whoa.
Less than a month
and
after
this. 3,000 comics.
And
also 3,000 main story comics are coming up.
And it might fall on the same day, 20th anniversary and 3,000 main story comics. It's
Yeah, they're very close.
We're all hoping it will fall on the same day.
Yeah. No pressure on Dan, though.
We are kind of trying to plan stuff for the 20th anniversary, but we also kind of failed at it.
We're doing some stuff, maybe, perhaps, maybe not, I don't know.
Vivi is doing some awesome stuff.
Yes, I have drawn at least 3 images. Woo.
I mean,
3 images of fan art recapping one arc. Yay.
You managed to sum up the first 10 pages of Elkunashive in just 3 panels.
Isn't it the first 8 pages? Is it the first 10 pages?
I think it was... Oh my god. Now we can finally...
Wait, are we going to have to count pages now?
No, we do not have to count pages. This is...
One.
This is the second time you've done this, Vince Rafter. Vince Rafter, that's new.
I don't remember the first time I did this. Oh no.
Rafter.
There are so many different references I could make,
and so few of them would be appropriate.
I have no idea. I have no idea what those references are. So I'm not going to make any of them, I guess. Welcome to the Mapleville Mopley. I'm your guest, Monthrafter.
What?
And I'm Trocky 130. Here to talk about Naruse.
Oh no, we're talking about nannies. I'm sorry. All right, so
are we here to talk about her?
Well, another thing, I might be working on another community survey, but no promises on that yet. Also, I've been writing fanfic, which is fun. A specific tournament arc fanfic where characters from Elkenshire are fighting each other and we're going to see who's going to win. That's fun. A lot of good times.
Yeah, I should read that. I should read that. I just forgot, I guess. I forget things.
I should read that too, find out who's the strongest under the heavens in this universe.
Well, I'm really curious as well, but I'm not quite that far in yet, so gotta find out who the strongest is. I could tell you who would win a fight between Sarah and Lucy, if you're interested in that. That was actually a really cool fight, that was my favorite fight I've written. But yes, Nanase. Alright, how are we gonna do this?
Indeed. Chronologically? Tangentially?
We can start kind of chronologically. She first appeared, of course, while she was dating Elliot.
Yep, in the anime-style martial arts dojo.
And one of the first things she did was kiss Elliot and then break up with Elliot.
Which I loved reading. Is like, oh, here we go, love triangle. Not love triangle. Huh.
Just instant ending.
We're seeing the ending of a love triangle right off the angle that happened off screen.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm cool.
That's a nice twist indeed. I mean, I always stand by that early Elkenshire was already incredibly good, so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether I expected a love triangle. I'm not sure if I've read that much media with... I'm not sure if I expected a love triangle, so I'm not sure whether my expectations were subverted.
Yeah, because I do know, like, when Nanase appeared, that was the first time my expectations were subverted, because it had set up the romantic tension between Elliot and Sarah, and my impression was that that was going to be stretched out for a while, but instead when Nanase is introduced, that ends up pushing things forward a lot faster. Starts to bring some resolution to the arc. Resolution, or at least moving their relationship to another stage. It's where they now.
Yeah,
indeed.
Things went so fast, so quickly, and it's pretty great.
Yeah, because I do think the introduction of Ellen was where I really fell in love with Elgunashiv, but the introduction of Nanase was where I started to think there was more to this than just a regular gag, comedy strip.
Mm. I also think that Nanase was like a really interesting and complicated and nuanced character right from the start, like flipping cardboard, which I think happened maybe slightly after Ellen was born, I forgot. But we already just see Nanase just, you know, being a person who has her own personality.
Indeed. And you forgot to include it in the Nanase document.
Yeah, I forgot that she was in that for some reason. Even though that part is wild, because she, like, shows herself in a bikini to someone like, who's, like, 4 years younger than she is, 5 years younger than she is. Like,
oh, we know how old the...
Well, we don't know.
I didn't know we knew how...
It's my guess. Like, you know, they seem younger, and it's just kind of really weird. Also, she did it for money. It's like...
Also, why does Melissa not question why somebody who doesn't understand English will be working at the coffee shop?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of... I feel like I might question that.
Okay, so gag comedy did stick around for a bit, for a while after, and Nanase actually had a lot of gag comedy at first.
She's always been very funny.
And she had so much drama introduced later on, it is interesting to look back and see the way she was introduced as just another comedy character at the start.
It is interesting to see how Elgunashiv in general has changed over time, especially when trying to read through it to get all the Nanase moments.
Yeah, but even then she had like her own interpersonal relationship separate from the rest of the group, like her friendship with Justin.
Yes. I think that one is really important, the friendship with Justin.
Yeah.
Just solidifying that connection outside of the Elliot, Ted, Sarah dynamic.
Yeah, and the way she served as a counterpart to Sarah, not just from the fact that her and Elliot had dated before, but also because Nanase has a totally different self-image than Sarah had.
This is something that comes up a lot later, where Sarah's just very jealous of Nanase, because of course she'd be. She's the smart, athletic, trilingual, magical martial artist. She's so perfect in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and of course the thing that distracted Sarah at the start was that Nanase is hot, and she knows she's hot, and she's just comfortable with that fact about herself. That's kind of what made the introduction of more dramatic elements of her character interesting, at least at the start. And we get to see how Nanase deals with feeling insecure about something that's different from what everyone else feels insecure about.
I think that's a very good thing to mention about her.
Her relationship with Ellen is really where Nanase started developing more as a character. Even before their sexual tension became a big deal, Nanase was someone who was ready to be there for Ellen. And Ellen wanted to be friends with Nanase in a way that Elliot hadn't been friends with her.
True. Nanase's first dramatic arc is very much tied into her sexuality and her attraction to Ellen.
Also, my favorite retcon in the comic immediately sets that storyline in motion. Those stupid pheromones, those things, and then point out, just like, no, pheromones weren't a thing. Kind of admitting, no, that's not how, no, these pheromones were a stupid idea in the first place. It shouldn't have been a plot point. And then revealing it, feeling like, no, there is no weird sci-fi reason to be attracted to her. You just are attracted to her, and not, wait, what? And that was an awesome storyline. That was...
Yeah, Night Out is generally just a really good storyline, in my opinion, because, like, a lot of really fun stuff happens there. You see all these characters interact in fun ways.
Oh, yeah. All the romance comedy arcs in the comic are really good.
Yes. And I think just Ellen and Nanase is the biggest one.
Yeah, they're...
By far.
Yeah, because... Technically, Sarah and Elliot have been a couple longer, but Nanase and Ellen really feel like the one true pairing, and it's such a core part of the comic from almost the very start. Even before they became a couple, there was comedy from their tension with each other.
Because, like, soon after Ellen's creation, she's basically hooked up with Nanase in a kind of way. And then during Night Out was largely about Ellen and Nanase. And then, of course, Grace's birthday party was largely about Ellen and Nanase. And even, and of course, Painted Black, it was also kind of in the background. Though that was more about Sarah and Elliot and...
Yeah, but even that...
It's always felt really important.
Yeah, it was such a... this was those... Because Sarah and Elliot could have been drawn out longer, but they didn't need to be, and their romance arc was more interesting to have it advance faster. Ellen and Nanase actually benefited from such a slow burn.
And also
B plot in the background of so many other storylines.
I also just love how perfect Ellen and Nanase are for each other, which is really obvious when you read these arcs. They're so perfect for each other in a way that Sarah and Elliot kind of aren't.
Yeah.
Even though they also have a really great dynamic with each other.
I collected some Ellen and Nanase moments when reading through the comics, but like probably biased towards things I want to see, which is like cuddles and otherwise intro. Yeah. Okay, I'm not sure what I am, biased. Oh, things that are similar to myself, which includes cuddles, so...
I do have one cuddle image in this document, so...
I only see two images you put in this document. Oh, yes, that is a cuddle. I was thinking, like, yeah, let me scroll up to where I put this image of a cuddle. it's somewhere here.
Cuddles
it's
are good.
There. I've got... Cuddles are good. Cuddles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the end of Grace's birthday party, I suppose, near the morning after, basically.
Which and it ends up becoming a plot point that, like, when Sarah notices that that she and Elliot don't have a physically intimate relationship in the way that Ellen and Nanase have.
This is getting off topic, but have we ever seen Sarah and Elliot kiss?
Oh, yeah, they kissed. The first image that comes to my mind is when they kissed at the birthday party arc.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God,
yes. Yeah, but they had kissed a bunch of other... I remember they had kissed a bunch of other times. It was just later on that they realized they really were... They actually kind of felt better about each other as friends. And so were really...
Or at least Elliot did.
Yeah, and even...
Because I think Sarah would have... quite like to be in a romantic relationship with Elliot in the same way that Justin would be.
But when she talked it out with Elliot, she got it and she accepted it and she sort of and she realized what both of them wanted out of a relationship was a little bit different. It was a really nice breakup that both of them were anxious would go really badly, but then it didn't.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Ellen and Nanase had the opposite from where they were both terrified about how the relationship would start horrible. They kept pushing it back, until they finally admitted their feelings for each other and realized they were both completely head over heels for one another.
They're perfect for each other. They keep balancing each other out. They keep... They're basically Moirails, if that makes sense to either of you.
Oh, yeah, they have a...
more rails? More rails. We don't have enough rails.
True, but it's a Homestuck reference.
Yeah, they balance each other so well, where they're both extroverted and introverted, but in opposite ways and in opposite circumstances.
Yes. Exactly. Like, one moment I really love is when it's during the What is Love arc, where Ellen and Nanase are babysitting Akiko.
Yep.
And Ellen is so much more explicit about everything. And Nanase keeps being like, oh my god, you can't say that to my little sister.
It's one more hot than pretty. Ellen, what? Eight!
Exactly.
So that...
And like, obviously Ellen is great with children. I can already tell from this.
Yeah. But Ellen is a little too chill around children.
And I also think that this works so well because Ellen has like 30 years of experience behind her back in a way.
Well, it's totally okay to talk about this stuff with a kid in front of your little sister. What could possibly be awkward for you about that?
This isn't really anything in notes or whatever, but can we talk about Akiko? Like, it's kind of related.
I'd love to talk about Akiko and Nanase's relationship with her, because Akiko's only in a couple storylines, but she's just so sweet and wholesome.
Indeed. And the main thing I did when reading through was question, how do these translated from Japanese sections work? Because, like, you've got, like, English distinctions and rhyme phrases, and, like, how is that translated from Japanese?
It really does seem like Dan just wrote regular dialogue in English and then put brackets around it and said, no, what they're
translated
totally speaking
Japanese.
In Japanese. It's important to their characters that they're talking in Japanese, but they're just talking, like, as if they're talking in English.
I mean, it could be a very loose translation of what they say, a very natural feeling translation. But it does kind of ignore how languages work.
This is how we ended up on a tangent trying to figure out what My Little Pony was called in Japanese. And it turns out it's just a phonetic transcription. It's just literally just the same sounds or the closest approximation possible.
I made the same decision.
My Little Pony. Wait, what?
No, there's a ni in Japanese. That's a pony. Letter sound you can make.
My Little.
Or like you can extend it. Ni.
I always criticize Dan about this because as a bilingual person I can tell you that the way these characters talk within languages just is not how it works in real life.
I mean, if I want language specific puns and translation, I go watch Gintama. But
that's true.
But yeah, it could have been done better, and it's just kind of a token element of Nanase's family that they talk in Japanese when they're at home. But the stuff that happens at Nanase's home is so emotionally resonant. Akiko is adorable and simultaneously naive, but also way less naive than Nanase thinks she is.
Nanase is
a great big sister, but Akiko can also tell when Nanase is having a hard time, and she comes to support her. Fairy is one of my favorite scenes in the whole comic.
It's so great. I think that Mama Kitsune, their mother, is less critical of Akiko than she was of Nanase at that age. I kind of think that's the case anyway.
What led you to that conclusion?
I feel like Akiko gets more freedom, maybe. Well, she's very young, so it's hard to say either way, but
there was subtext to that about Nanase being the oldest.
That, of course, the whole thing is that Nanase, there's such high expectations laid upon her, which is just so unfair on her.
Indeed.
And it is interesting to see how, you know, having that pressure on her has really shaped who Nanase is as a person.
Yes.
But in some ways, being an overachiever is something she is okay with. Because after her mom starts putting less pressure on her, or at least Nanase stops capitulating to her mom's pressure in the same way.
Yes.
Nanase ends up still being proud of all of her accomplishments and is happy to keep being great at all the things that she's great at. it's just she's doing that for herself, for the sake of her own pride and self-worth, rather than to earn approval.
I'm so glad that she was able to do that. That's such a special thing.
Yeah,
really.
Me too.
Yeah.
I know, I haven't been able to do that.
And there's so much depth to that, where like it starts off just as Nanase being afraid to come out to her pretty obviously a prejudiced mother, but then there ends up being a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, the clothing thing is of course obvious. I like that scene where Nanase is like, yeah, I wanted the haircuts and wear this kind of clothing. And Nanase's mother is like, I'm completely all right with this, but I'm concerned that you consider this some kind of challenging me. And I feel like that's the moment where Nanase kind of realized that she should be doing stuff for herself and not for her mother.
Yeah, where she simultaneously realizes it is possible for her to defy her mother, but also that she's putting pressure on herself to defy her mother. Which is kind of not fixing the problem at all. It's just giving herself a new arbitrary standard to reach for. Because it turns out fighting to earn disapproval can be just as unhealthy as fighting for approval. And so ultimately, the character arc she has at the end of is from Sister 2 is concluding that all that has to come from within. She has to approve of herself.
Yes. This almost sounds Buddhist in a way.
Yeah.
It's or something.
Yeah, it's really cool, and it's so amazing that that character arc was told through her saving Ellen's life. As an angelic guardian form.
Which is, there's so much to love about that. It's just the Christian theming for one thing, and also like the fact that she's like, we almost died. I'm going to enjoy every second we have together. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hide anything anymore.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Christian theming was one of the topics somebody asked for this episode.
Yeah.
In the Ask Us Questions.
I think Nanase might be...
What's the word I'm looking for? Event?
I would just call it the channel on Discord for it.
Sure, the channel for asking questions. That's a question.
Benny asked what's up with her religion, and I think this is generally an interesting thing. We haven't really dealt with Christianity since Sister 2, I think. Maybe in some mild parts, but... or not since Family Tree, I guess, when they were actually looking up a Christmas tree and talking about how... That was also a great scene when Ellen was praying to God in order to... get access to the Guardian form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely been gods mentioned in Elgunish Shive a lot. Like, are they specifically the Christian god or what? Also, there's also this comic where Jesus and Nanase are essentially.
What?
No, read it.
I've got to click on it. I have to open the browser because for some reason I'm slow.
Okay.
It's one of the comics where Nanase is wearing a cross as a pendant.
No, it's the first panel.
Oh, God, you guys, oh, Jesus.
I hadn't noticed there was a cameo by Jesus. Strange, it just seemed like a guy. I was convinced that was just a guy cursing.
This confirms Jesus exists in Elkunish Shive. List of historical figures that we know exist in Elkunish Shive. Jesus and Hitler. That's basically it.
Yeah, I do totally get why Dan would choose not to have religion come up as a topic in the comic. But Nanase, I believe, is the only canonic character where her religion canonically matters to her. And a lot of that, and you could definitely see how being raised in a Christian family and still having and being willing to express her faith has affected who she is as a person and what matters to her in life.
Because I think most of these characters are very secular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I do.
And I think Nanase probably is too, based on. Like, my own life experience. I was raised in a Catholic family, but I'm fairly secular.
Same here.
But, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Especially because she had such a spiritual experience in Sister 2.
Yeah. And, it never comes up as a topic that she is uncomfortable she's uncomfortable with the concept of her being a lesbian.
It's never brought in conflict with homosexuality, luckily.
Yeah, she doesn't... Yeah, and nothing about her... about the way she expresses or practices her faith seems to have been affected after she comes out. All of the drama of her coming out is just from her ability to accept herself, not the idea that she thinks there's something wrong with her, just that... she doesn't know what to do with the knowledge that she is a lesbian and how confusing it is for her to like figure out what kind of life she's going to live now that she knows this about herself.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that Nanase hasn't worn a cross since she came out in Sister 2.
Well, it's entirely possible her mother was pressuring her to do that, same way she was pressured to wear their not revealing clothes.
The sweaters and stuff, yeah. I mean, I feel like that's almost confirmed in a way.
Yeah. Yet her mother was okay with her dating a lot of different people.
Yeah. How do we feel about the fact that Nanase has dated around a lot? To just change the topic.
How do I feel about that?
Can we still relate to a girl like this?
I mean, compared to how much I could relate before. I mean, I have dated significantly less than a lot times.
You've dated that much?
Oh, and the last episode I was in, it was zero. So, update since the last episode I was in, that's now one.
Aww.
I declined to update my list. but yeah, no, I don't particularly relate to Nanase dating around either. I never had that level of confidence or extroversion, especially in high school. But what I do relate to is really being in denial about yourself. And sort of trying to fit yourself into a specific mold of who you think you should be.
I do relate to that. Not specifically with dating, but yeah, very relatable. And in high school. More of the school before high school, actually, like, not with dating.
And it came up with me when I tried to date, because it's like, well, obviously, I'm straight and cisgender. I just do this, and that's how you do this thing, right? Everyone just does the thing they're supposed to do, and it all works out. Then much later on, I am way more complicated than I thought I was.
Fifi. You posted earlier one of these panels from What is Love, in which Nanase says, well, yes, I had always figured I'd have a couple of children of my own someday. And I was...
Yeah, and I said, in my very biased opinion, that seems like she hasn't considered it for herself, she's being pressured. And that's biased because I don't want children, so, I'm biased towards myself.
I've experienced this exact same thing where I just assumed that someday I would be married and have children and have all of these standards.
Yeah, that was an assumption I also made about myself. But I actually read Nanase's situation here a little differently, where I don't think she had decided, she had made a decision regarding whether she wanted children now. You know, I read it as that was her expected future for herself. It was still a future she wanted to have. Now that she's dating, now that she knows she's dating Ellen, presumably for life, she realized having that future is going to be harder.
A long time after I realized I would probably not have this as a future, I was still wanting to have this future anyway. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of all right with it, but I also felt like this great loss. And I kind of understand if Nanase still feels that kind of way as well. But she just feels like she lost the future that she knew she would have always had. Well, I'm just reading a lot into.
Well, I definitely
Nanase that isn't actually there.
I definitely think that. I don't know if it's necessarily in that scene, but that has definitely been a running theme for Nanase from the moment she discovered herself.
It's terrifying to be unsure about your own future.
Yeah.
Oh wow, I'm unsure about my own future. I'm terrified all the time.
I'm sure it's gotten much easier to predict your future in the past couple years. What could possibly have made it more terrified and insecure to imagine what your future is going to be like? Okay. I mean, it just gets easier to plan further ahead, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, see, if the world's on fire, then you only have to plan ahead for ashes, I guess.
This has been the opposite of a solution.
Oh my god.
But you see that even with other characters like Ellen, where her very first scene is sort of realizing she's not Elliot, and now she doesn't know who she is and what on earth and what she should do if her life it just isn't what she thinks it is anymore.
Yeah.
And having to completely build a new identity for herself that that feels like her. And in the end, she ends up being really happy. She sort of accepts that her life is a gift, and she's going to live her life, to the fullest and enjoy every moment. And that is a thing that Nanase is really finds really attractive about Ellen, and eventually learns that from Ellen. And Nanase becomes so much happier to break out of the really constrained image she had of who she could be.
These two girls who find a way to completely change their own lives and take control over it are two of the happiest characters in the entire webcomic.
Well,
it's enough to make an NB like me cry.
Aww. I'm not sure if we have much to say about this, but I figured we might want to talk about the fact that Nanase lost her access to her powers for quite a while there, after she used the Guardian Form for the first time. I love her hairstyle during that part, by the way, where it was like half black, half red.
Yeah, it changes a lot.
Yeah. Nanase's hairstyles are great.
Yeah. And it was definitely done for character reasons and not for nerfing, because if Dan had been concerned about nerfing overpowered characters, Grace would have been nerfed long ago.
Well, I think I mentioned this in the Discord once, where Elka the Shive works despite all its way overpowered characters, because it's not about fights.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, the personal arcs that these characters are going through.
Yeah.
And Nanase is a great example of this, because, well, this smart, beautiful, athletic, trilingual, magical martial artist is, you know, perfect in so many different ways, but she does not feel too perfect in any way.
Yeah, she's still...
I'm remembering that time when Nanase spoke German like one time in Flipping Cardboard, but like, is that retconned?
Does Nanase just she does know not speak German.
Yeah, it's just one time in one arc in 2000.
Yeah. I'm not sure why she said Guten Tag there, but she speaks French, actually.
I also speak, I don't speak French very well, but like, when you live in Canada, everyone knows, like, the tiniest bit of French.
Yeah, but you're as far away from Quebec as you can be in Canada. Okay, not as far away, I guess, because that would be
Yukon. I could be further away.
Or Saskatchewan. Like, I don't know what those territories are called, but yes.
No, Yukon is the one in the northwest.
Oh, cool.
I'm an American. Yeah. Maps mean nothing to me.
Not keeping up with America Junior, I hear. Oh, I've been I've been busy learning all the countries and a lot of stuff. So
all the countries.
Yeah, I can.
That's many countries.
I can name all of them.
Oh wow, is there like a memorable song to help you remember that?
I just did a lot of Sporkle quizzes to study them, and I read about the history of a lot of countries.
Well, if we were doing an Animaniac cool special on this podcast, I expect an homage to that song.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland, El Salvador too, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still, Guatemala, Bolivia, then Argentina, and Ecuador, Chile, Brazil, Costa Rica, Belize, Nicaragua, Bermuda, Bahamas, Tobago, San Juan, Paraguay, Uruguay, Suriname, French Guiana, Barbados, and Guam. Am I going to sing through the whole thing?
Don't sing the whole thing, but I refuse to interrupt that. That is perfect.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I won't sing the whole thing.
That was really good.
Thanks. I think I did find an Animaniacs reference in the commentary while reading through, but that's entirely unrelated to Nanase, I think.
There does exist a full list of all the countries sung in the version of Animaniacs, in the style of Animaniacs, by the way, on YouTube. Which is...
Oh, yeah, I may have seen that, but I haven't memorized that one.
Yeah. And also, because we're talking about all the amazing things I've been doing anyway, I'm also learning French right now on Duolingo.
Oh, cool.
So cool. I'll be
maybe between us,
trilingual
maybe
soon,
between
too.
Between us, we know like three languages. Oh, okay, you're already trilingual.
Well, not yet.
Like, maybe if with our powers combined, we'll have three total languages with our limited knowledge of some... But no, you just already know three.
I know two right now. Unless, I only know two languages right now, so.
I think we were going to mention sometime that I know a little Japanese. I don't think we've mentioned that yet this episode, but it's like, technically, some Japanese, more than I know French, so, but not as much as I know English. I do not use Japanese regularly or anything. I do not usually encounter knowing a Japanese word for something, but not the English word. However, I do encounter, like, wondering how the Japanese translations are working, because, what? Those are English words that are allegedly translated from Japanese in ways that
this
make no sense.
This is really bothering you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. How do you compare, like, pony... Like, I think we already mentioned this, like, pony is either translated as just, like, small horse, or child horse, or just horse, or actually as the loan word of the English word pony. So, like, that translation does not make the most sense.
Nanny?
Because...
Sorry.
don't apologize, I make that meme all the time. I do not apologize for learning many Japanese turns of phrase from JoJo.
Yeah.
I have not seen that.
Just watch more anime.
Watch Gintama instead.
What?
That's better Japanese jokes than JoJo.
If you want a lot of puns, then that's a good... I don't watch JoJo though.
Even the English dub of even one of the English dubs of Gintama does
puns,
pretty good translation.
Puns between languages usually don't work at all.
Yeah.
Even with Gintama, there's always asterisks popping up on the subtitles to explain the puns and pop culture references that wouldn't make sense to an American audience.
I can imagine.
And I do realize, I think Nanase is technically unless you count Ted being half Asian, Nanase is technically the only person of color in El Gunashive.
I think you forgot Grace there.
Oh, yes, yeah, I Grace. Completely forgot Grace.
And I think Ted is just as Japanese as Nanase is, technically.
I thought it was...
He just has less of the culture because, you know, he has no contact with his mother.
Oh yeah, I assumed his dad was white.
I think Nanase's dad is white. We don't see him much.
Nanase's dad has shown up very rarely.
Yeah.
Very
he has a lot. He has a big mustache, and that's pretty rare among Japanese people.
Nanase's last name is Kitsune.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, I assume that her father had there is Japanese. He has a Japanese surname.
Very weird surname, anyway.
A rather unrealistic surname.
Indeed. And actually, speaking of Kitsune's, Nanase has the fox clone form spell. Yes, a clone named Fox Kitsune. Nothing about that. But, like, also the color clone spell, and, like, those are different in some way and overlap in other ways. So, like, also, if you haven't seen the color clones recently, like...
Yeah, because of the black and white.
Grayscale.
It's a kind of visual...
But, like, it's interesting how they have some overlapping overlapping characteristics.
I do hope to see those color clones again, because they're weird and fun. Yeah. They're very funny. They're very weird.
Yeah, like I was wondering while reading, are they more or less autonomous than foxes? And like, I couldn't find anything. Like, Nanase mentioned her clone spell, and it's like, which clone spell did you mean?
She meant Fox in that case, but all her magic is just ridiculous. They keep pointing it out. She's a fucking princess.
And she's really good at magic. She's introduced, in some ways, as the anime shonen rival character to Elliot. Yeah. It turns out, no, it's actually more like Elliot is the rival to Nanase, trying to catch up to how powerful she is.
Yeah. Nanase is obviously the most powerful character other than perhaps Grace. But we've never seen Grace and Nanase fight, so...
Oh, wait! So I heard somebody's writing, like, this tournament arc.
Yeah! That might be a thing that's happening!
Yes!
Can I talk about... Can I just mention, by the way, we did see Nanase fight with Vladia. And Vladia just knocked Nanase down with the scream voice thingy.
Yeah.
And Nanase thought that she might break her neck, and therefore she activated a fairy doll spell with the hope that if she happened to die, she would be able to live on as a fairy.
Yeah, what?
Yeah. Painted Black was intense.
She just accepted that she might die there, so she was like, well, let's see if I can somehow survive like this. Quick thinking. Or I guess that's always just been in the back of her mind. I mean, kids kind of do that kind of thing where they're like, well, in case something extreme like this happens, this is what I would do.
Does not everyone do that?
Yeah, if a bank... I can imagine, like, oh, if a bank robbery happens right now, I would do this and this and be, like, an action hero.
I wasn't thinking bank robberies, I do just tangentially imagine things that might happen. Mm-hmm. That hasn't come in useful most of the time.
Luckily.
But it has once.
Do we want to know?
I guess, like, I don't know, somebody wanted to be my girlfriend, and I couldn't tell that because they are really bad at communicating, so I was like, just in case this is supposedly flirting, like, just in case lying about being in my science class is flirting, I'm just going to prepare a rejection speech, and then it actually came in.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Aw.
You have a power I do not understand. What is this social preparation you are capable of?
Oh, I social prepare a lot.
No, it was incredibly coincidental. Either that, or I was not as oblivious as I thought, or I was twice as oblivious as I thought. I don't know.
Well, at least we aren't prepared to get knocked unconscious while we're flying mid-air and then possibly breaking our neck.
Yeah, and when I was a teenager reading Painted Black, I was like, oh yeah, if I had magic like that, that is definitely something I would plan to do. Isn't that just straightforward, obvious thing for anyone to think about? What do you mean? What do you mean it's not?
Wait, I'm a teenager now, and it doesn't seem super obvious to me.
Different people.
Is actually the kind of person who does think ahead like that, and is prepares herself for different eventualities.
She is also, like, one of the most analytical people, as we also see in So Another Day to the Mall, when she's analyzing the behavior of the griffins.
And I never...
Which was also not linked in this document, so...
I put a note in there. It was 10 o'clock in the evening, and I was tired. No, 10 o'clock doesn't sound very late, but yeah.
I was going to be nice to you about that.
If this
about that document.
Also, very... very tangential, but if this document was an HTML document, I would be very concerned that you were using headers to change font size.
Ooh, I love using headers to change font sizes. Is this a criticism?
Michael, don't use headers to change font sizes. That's not how HTML works.
I'm looking at it in Word. I've done that in Word. Don't do that. Your head will explode.
That's not what'll happen, but it's just not good HTML practice.
This episode is running long, and I want to talk about...
Wait, this is a heading. This is heading 3. What?
What are you talking about? I only put headers in the headers. Oh, you're going to complain about this number 3 instead of 2.
These blue things are headers. What?
Oh, yeah.
Not the non-links, the things before the lists are headers, but their headers level 3.
What do you mean non-links? They're links!
No, the ones that aren't links.
You can... They're all links. Why did you say nuts to non-links?
One says topics and one says links, but they're
what
not
What does
links,
that even mean?
And they're both heading in level 3 for some reason. This is
means we've gone off topic.
All right. This episode's running long right now. I want to talk about one more thing.
It's our triple threat. It's a triple threat holiday special. Of course, it's triple length. obviously.
Let's not make it triple length, because it's also going to be triple length to edit. So, Ekaro was also asking about... how you pronounce that name? Ekaro was asking about Nanase's family life, and we've been talking about that, but how much do Mama Kitsune and her... Kitsune know about magic? We know that Mother Kitsune knows about magic. How much does her father know about magic?
I think some of that will be answered as more magic politics stuff comes into the comic. But yeah, it was left as this, but it was left as a loose end for Sister 2 that her mother apparently knew everything the whole time. What? And
it wasn't that big a surprise, I'm pretty sure. I expect that she just wants to live a normal life, and I wouldn't be surprised if Nanase's father knows nothing.
The stuff with the loose end with Mama Kitsune knowing about magic is probably going to come to a head when Ted's mom finally comes back and finally becomes a character.
Which
we know is going to happen. We know it's going to happen at some point. We're going to see Noriko and Van again.
I think that Mama Kitsune just wants to live a normal life. I think that it's likely that her father. That Nanase's father does not know anything about magic. It's also possible he does know about magic, but doesn't like it or whatever. To be fair, he has like one talking line, so...
Yeah, really has not shown up much. We don't know much about him.
I hope that Akiko learns more about magic.
That does sound interesting.
Well, that would be a cool plot point.
Yeah.
If you think it was hard for Nanase to explain other stuff to Akiko.
Is explaining magic going to be easier or harder?
Well, it depends on how it goes. I feel like there's a chance that Akiko might learn about magic without even dealing with her sister. We already saw Akiko meet up with Groda once, so...
Wait, now I'm just remembering that time in that NP comic where Akiko was wearing, like, 70s clothing to levitate a cookie.
Oh, yeah!
In Wrong Answers.
Isn't that in, like, a Q&A?
No, it was in Wrong Answers Only, I think.
Oh, wow.
Pretty sure.
There's too much weird random parts.
I'm rooting for maximum adorableness where Ashley and Akiko have to go to the same magic classes.
Oh, God.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
Where suddenly both of them are going to feel awkward for completely different reasons.
I think Ashley would find it pretty awkward to be in the same magic class as someone who's like 10 years younger than she is. And she's better at magic than... Because obviously Akiko would be way more skilled than Ashley would.
Yeah, but Ashley's going to get spells that are hard to explain to Akiko.
Oh, God, that's a...
Oh, yeah.
Oh. And but that Akiko is probably going to be perfectly capable of understanding just fine, but Nanase is going to be covering her ear. No, don't talk about this. It's weird enough that I'm into it. Don't make her into it. Don't awaken something in her.
Just all Tad spells, you know. I think that's a wrap. Is it all right with you two? If I wrap it up here.
If you want to. Like, I feel like there's probably more we could talk about, probably, but, like, if you want to, then sure.
Well, we didn't talk much, but, I mean, there were a couple storylines we skipped over, like, One Way Road, which is amazing.
Oh, yeah, One Way Road.
The best.
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
But also Family Tree, which was really the last story arc with Nanase as a primary focus.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about both of them, because I would always like to talk more about One Way Road.
One Way Road's amazing, though. It's mostly, like, Nanase does have an important role in there, but it's mostly about Tad and maybe some Alan.
Yeah.
And Grace.
Looking at my notes from there, I seem to have gotten distracted by refrigerator box spaceship, and also
what?
Alan knows how many days... Refrigerator box spaceship.
What?
No, like, it was mentioned in one panel that Tad had once thought of a refrigerator box spaceship but never finished it. Now, I assume it would work because space is cold, and so it will keep your food cold. Yeah, and the other thing I wrote down here was that Ellen knows how many days she and Nanase have been together.
Yeah,
that was a nice moment.
Yeah, it's just very cute how Ellen and Nanase are—they're just generally cute together. The double date's cute. The fact that Nanase and Ellen are both have the hearts for Grace, you know, that's great. Just every time they look at Grace, they're just blushing.
Oh yeah, especially in that arc, I guess that arc does a lot of Ellen, Nanase, Grace.
Yeah.
Concept bringing up the concept.
If we're going to talk about some arcs we haven't talked about yet, I want to bring up playing with dolls in NP because it's very much a Susan arc, but you get so much out of this Nanase in that one.
Indeed, that is. I did not reread that for this episode.
Oh. You just honestly. Nanase is just as kinky as Tad is.
I love that's a storyline that confirms, she's always had this kink. She just never talked about it until now.
Yep. And then when she does, she only makes her cousin very awkward. But let's not talk about this with the young Beatrix here.
Hello! Yeah, I don't even know what that is. I'm just wait, I can't
cover our ears.
Magnets.
I can't. I'm wearing Bluetooth headphones, remember?
Cover them.
I am. I can still hear you because I'm just pushing my headphones closer to my ear.
You can only hear us better. Oh no, this plan failed.
We were just talking about baseball.
It's all just baseball.
Oh yeah, baseball. Baseball. That's the thing I cannot relate to. I can relate to some things they do, but not the baseball. No.
Yeah, I don't watch baseball either.
No, like the thinking about baseball.
I know.
Is this like intention? Is this it's...
It was intentional. Yes.
It was intense. No, I don't have watched the sport baseball either.
I guess the last story, but I think the last storyline to discuss is Family Tree was really was it Nanase got her, they finally got her magic back, came back into the spotlight, did something totally awesome.
And
not only was it her back to doing cool magic stuff, it also really showed how much her interpersonal relate dynamics had developed, or you see how much things have changed between her and Diane, and how her and Ellen are hanging out with people from their school in different ways.
I find it fascinating how Nanase talks as an adult to Edward a lot, in a way that no other character does.
Yeah.
Her, to her uncle. Like, she's very adult about it, and they're very on the same level. Like, Edward's always just Edward's son, you know?
Yeah,
or daughter.
Yeah, keeping up with...
Did you just say Edward's always Edward's son?
Ted's always Ed's
Ted
son.
Ted is all... Oh, what? Discord spontaneously closed.
She's gone again.
Dang it.
She'll be
back. That's unhelpful.
I hope.
I think that ties back to Nanase always thinking ahead. When Edward has a plan, Nanase has also thought ahead and has her own plans and tries to poke holes in Edward's plans. She's thinking about what's going to be best for everyone. And Edward is thinking about his job.
So I think that's a wrap. I would like to end it here because I'm not sure if the Beatrix's audacity will keep running correctly, and I'm kind of terrified of that.
It's running correctly, just my internet connection in general and just compute. Yeah, like Audacity is running correctly, but like the internet connection, not very much.
As always, I want to ask both of you, let's start with Beatrix. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on my blog, minceraptor42.github.io, or you can find me on the Algoonish Jive Discord server. I'm there a lot, and like, I don't know, I'm on some other internet sites, but like... Those are, I guess, the ones I would want to promote here, I suppose. I don't know.
I think you would want to promote your webcomic?
Oh, yeah, I have a webcomic. you can find it from my blog.
Filbert is amazing, and everyone needs to watch it. Go read Filbert.
Well, like, you can watch the animations, I suppose, but thanks. Thanks.
Did
for
I say watch?
You said watch, and then changed to read, maybe? I'm not sure. But thanks for the recommendation. I'm glad you've enjoyed it.
Trekkie, where can people find you?
You can find me on Discord, including the Elguna Shive server, at Trekkie140, #2230. And on Twitter, at Trekkie140. I use the same profile. I use the same username profile pic everywhere.
That's great. You can find me on Twitter as well, at MapleStrip, with also always my same avatar, which is a lovely rendition of Haruhi. Almost said Nanase. All those Japanese names look alike.
Yes.
That was terrible. You can also find me on my website, MapleStrip.space. This podcast is in all of the podcasting apps. The music you're listening to right now is Our Heroes by Sister Parish. I'm sorry we don't have like a fun Christmassy version of it. It would have been cool. That would have been cool. Just add some jingle bells.
Yeah, it would.
The next episode...
We can add some... Do I have any bells here? No, I don't.
The next episode might be with another one with Trekkie. And we might talk more about Star Trek. Because Star Trek is awesome. And kind of want to talk about it more.
Cool.
And I am surprisingly qualified to talk about it.
It's almost like it's in your name.
It's almost like it's a lifelong obsession of mine.
I think there's still a lot to be said about it, especially because we haven't been able to talk about the original movies and stuff.
Specifically the ways that it's influenced Elguna Shy. But that's for the year of 2022.
Yes, exactly. If you want to be on this podcast, you can be. Just contact me somehow, and I would love to hear you. And I think that's everything. Thank you both very much.
Thank you for having us on, and I'd like to wish both of you and everyone out there a happy holiday season.
Thanks.
Happy holidays, happy new year, sayonara. Guten Tag.
And happy Elgun. Yeah, and like happy Algunas Shack 20th anniversary / 3000 comic soon ish.
Yeah, 20th anniversary! Whoa!
It's a long time. It's longer than me.
It's longer than
my
you.
My time. Longer than me. Yes.
I'm gonna stop the recording here because this is amazing.
Okay, me too. Doot doot, audio, audio, waveforms, audio, 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 waveforms. Disk space remaining for recording 164 hours and 52 minutes. That's definitely enough.